I'd like to speak about the indescribable gift this morning. The indescribable gift. I was thinking about this, and I don't know if you've ever received a Christmas gift where you had to ask, what is it? Anybody ever get a gift like that? What is it? I remember one Christmas, my son-in-law, Travis, he's the creative one, and I love our son-in-law. For those who don't know my family, he's an African-American man. He's a principal, high school principal, and just a great guy. And he loves me, and I love him. That's where we're going to live for the next whatever time, till they kick us out, which may not be long, but anyway. One year he gave me a something that worked with a radio, and it was so I could talk over my cell phone when radio stations on a certain station, then it has a capability of transmitting my cell phone over it. I tried to get it to work and couldn't. So I just had to say, well, that was a nice gift. Maybe, have you ever given? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever given a recycled gift? Somebody gives you a gift and you think, I don't really need that, so I'm going to give it to somebody else. It's a good idea, I guess. Have you ever got a Swiss knife that you can do 100 things with, from gutting a deer to opening a bottle, to clipping your fingernails? Or maybe you have my dream. Some of you know I used to own a Lexus. But you see the commercials, right? Now try to picture this, Olivia. You wake up, it's a snowy morning, and out in the driveway, your grandmother hands you a small box, and you open that box, and it's a key, and it says Lexus on it. And you look out the window, and there's your brand new 2018 Lexus ES350, and it's a gift from your grandparents. That's pretty indescribable emotion, isn't it? Yeah, that would be exciting. I was down at the bank this past week, our Reliance Bank, and there was a young girl in there. And she had on the most beautiful diamond ring. I just commented to her, boy, that's a beautiful ring. She said, yeah. She said, it is. And I said, I wonder, did your boyfriend, your fiance, have to mortgage his socks to buy it for you? And she looked at me and she said, that was really funny. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sure there's a lot of rings that people have to mortgage something to buy. Because I don't know if you knew Donald Trump. Donald Trump, when he got engaged to Melania, bought a 15-carat emerald-cut diamond. It was $3 million. But that's not the most expensive diamond ring. The most expensive engagement ring that was ever bought was 33.19, an Asher cut crop diamond that Richard Burton gave to Elizabeth Taylor. Now the question is, was that for their first wedding or their second wedding? I don't know, but it was auctioned in 2011 for $8.8 million. You know, and I'm sure there's many young men here who plan to buy that kind of a ring for your sweetheart. Something that's incredible, though, is beyond words. It's beyond even understanding. When I talk about the indescribable gift, and I'm speaking of in reference to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, I'd like to ask you to turn there with me to just as a fresher point, starter point. 2 Corinthians 9, 15. Where Paul concludes, actually Paul is taking an offering. And I know that most of you are familiar with this context. But Paul is collecting an offering from the Corinthians. And he talks to them. He's motivating them. He's motivating them to reach into their wallets, to write a check. And he's motivating them to give an extremely generous gift to this offering that was going to help the people in Jerusalem that were struggling with famine and in need of money. And so Paul is encouraging these Gentile Christians to send a gift to the Jewish Christians. And he uses many different motives, but he concludes with this motive that's very touching. He says in verse 15 of chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, something that's indescribable, to me, it means something that's beyond words. You struggle to describe it. It's so beyond your words. It's so beyond comprehension. It's like the universe. I put this picture of, I saw on a, this is an actual picture of space. And to say the least, the heavens are indescribable, aren't they? I mean, really. I mean, it just blows my mind beyond comprehension. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament, the stars show his handiwork. Day after day, they utter speech. Night after night, they utter God's story that he exists. But something that's indescribable is beyond words, beyond even understanding or comprehension. So when I speak about a gift that's indescribable, I mean it's indescribable of words or even understanding or so beyond human description. And you and I are in church here this morning, and right away we've guessed the answer to what is this indescribable gift. It's God's gift that he gave at Christmas, a gift to all. To every boy, this gift that's indescribable, he gives this indescribable gift of his son, Jesus Christ, to every boy, every girl, he wants to give it. And Paul says, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. It's given, it's offered, this indescribable gift is offered to every human soul. All right? It's offered to you. If you've never taken God's great gift to Christmas, Jesus, it's offered. He is offering his son to you this morning. Now, and so babies are born every day, but no baby like this baby has ever been brought so much, has never brought so much to every human's life, both in tangible, the real now, and the intangible, what we haven't yet to experience, the spiritual, the real both now and forever riches that we have in Christ. And that's why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. For his gift is to us is truly beyond all words. It's beyond universal value. His gift to mankind is beyond all the value of silver and gold and diamonds and ruby. It's beyond all the wealth of this world. His indescribable gift is given to us. You know, in John chapter 21, if you want to turn there with me, John chapter 21, it says about, John writes about Jesus. Indescribable. In John chapter 21, John writes in verse 25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. This world could not contain what could be written about Jesus. This person, this gift that God gave us, this indescribable gift, is so valuable. And you know, the best part is, but why is Christ called the gift that is indescribable? Why is he called the gift that's indescribable? And that we should especially thank God for that gift. Here it is, because the best part is this beyond human words or comprehension gift that's offered to you is true. It's true. The gift of God of giving his son Jesus Christ is true. And the fact that he will give eternal life, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, number one, why is this gift so beyond our comprehension? Why is it so indescribable? Because of the unique nature of the gift. The gift wasn't a watch. The gift wasn't even a car or a Mercedes-Benz or a Lexus or whatever kind of car. The gift wasn't a sweater or underwear or pajamas. These gifts were temporary. This gift, why it's so indescribable, is because this gift was a person, Christ himself, God himself. And so I ask, who is Christ? Who is Christ? Who is Jesus? To me, the most amazing, beautiful truth of Christmas, here it is that the infinite God, it says that the universe cannot contain him, right? The infinite God that filled the universe became an infant. Try to comprehend that. Only God himself could offer such a unique gift. And for that reason, the gift is indescribable. The person of Christ is self-existent. He was self-existent. He is the self-sufficient God. The God who described himself to Moses as I am, that is I am. Meaning that he that was born in Bethlehem existed and was never nurtured other than by his own power. He needed nobody and nothing to exist. But he humbled himself as Mary's creator to be nourished at her breast and to be nurtured by her human love. That's crazy. That's just crazy. He left go of his grasp of his rightful position in the form of God. He emptied himself of his heavenly position in the form of God and was born in the earthly form of human flesh. There is no gift ever given of such incomprehensible love or value, far, far beyond any words, far beyond all languages, whether in heaven or in earth. And what makes God's grace gift to us so great is himself. The unfathomable extent that God would go to, hear this, the unfathomable extent that God would go to show his love to us. I have to find the clicker. I see we're... clicker's not working. Okay, no problem. Yeah, that's all right. The unfathomable extent that God would go to reconcile man to himself, to the person who considers himself an intellect, such a contempt is inconceivable. Such a concept is inconceivable, excuse me. But to those who believe the Bible's theme of God's pursuit of love, of a love relationship with man, it demonstrates the immense extent of God's love, a love that was willing to let go of his form of God and be made in the form of a human in order to save a man's soul from eternal separation from him in the lake of fire. So what makes God's gift so indescribable is not only who Jesus is, but what he did for us. Because of what Jesus did for us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, and I'm just going to quote it to you. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. It says, for the grace of God has revealed to us. Well, I better turn there, my mind. That's why I'm retiring my mind. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And I got it mixed up with a verse in Titus. It says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. So because of his unique nature in the person of who Jesus was, but not only who Jesus was, but what he did for us, he became poor to die, to take on a body, and pay our sins in full. Now, the gift is also indescribable because of the grace with, excuse me, are you able to move that Rich back there by enter? Okay, I'm sorry. The gift of God is also indescribable because of the grace with which it was given. This is so important. I'm going to come down here. I hate up there. I like to be down where I can see your eyeballs. But seriously, it's indescribable because of the grace with which it's given. The grace that, by which it is given. You know, most of our gifts have nothing to do with grace. We give gifts to people because they're family or they're co-workers. We give gifts, sometimes we give gifts because we see a need that somebody has and we give them a gift. But we feel an obligation in our heart to help someone. But God was not a member of the human race. In fact, our human race was in rebellion against him and still is in rebellion against him. We are his enemies, Colossians says. Colossians 1:21 through 23 talks about that we are God's enemies. Now think about that. We are in our hearts rebellious to God. God says, I want you to do this. And we say no. We go our own way. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned every one of us to our own way. Now, think of this though. Yet it was while we were his enemies, spitting in his face, beating him with clubs, covering his innocent body with our merciless wounds of our hatred, nailing him to the cross, it was then that he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now that's grace. The great gift of Christ is granted not to God's friends, but to his enemies, to those who in their sinful, satanic hatred and rebellion have risen up and declared war against the Almighty. To every one of us, suffering as we are in this world of immense confusion, tragedy, pain that we see every day on TV, because of the rebellious nature that's in our hearts, God offers this indescribable gift to those people, to the people like us that don't deserve it, and to people worse than us. In the angel's message to the shepherds, we stand before the supreme truth that unto you is born this day. Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all people. For this day in the city of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. We see in this message of the angel the supreme truth of our Christian faith, and that is the immense grace of God, that Christ Jesus came into this world. Hear this. Christ Jesus came into this world not to build big, costly churches, not to establish a Christian political party, not to establish a social service or even consciousness. The reason the angel sang that first Christmas night was to announce God's love to all mankind was born, the Savior, Christ the Lord. First and foremost, this baby was born to secure your salvation and my salvation from eternal punishment in hellfire. No wonder Paul, the chief of sinners, calls this gift of grace indescribable. Such mercy and grace to one's enemies goes beyond the limit of human speech or imagination. But more than that, Christ came to save to the uttermost. In other words, save as long as salvation, which is eternity. Christ came to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. There is no sin too great. There is no sinner too vile to be blessed by God when repentant and receiving this indescribable gift. Hear that. There is no sin too great. And there is no sinner too vile that the grace of God can't reach you and save you to the uttermost. That's grace. Such a gift offered in this baby is indescribable. But it is not only a gift that is indescribable, but it's also God's gift that's indescribable, is the gracious manner with which the gift was given. Reason falters, and it does. Logic fails when asked, how could God, why would God want to save me? That's what I asked the day I got saved. When I said, you don't know me, mister. You don't know me. You tell me God loves me. I said, you don't know me. God couldn't love me. That's what I said to the man that day. God couldn't love me. And then he shared, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then my eyes were open, and I realized if God could love a sinner, God could love me. Which leads me to the third answer as to what makes God's gift so indescribable. The third reason why Paul penned these words, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, is on the screen now. Because of the immeasurable benefits that this gift gives to its recipients. We all want benefits when we retire, right? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but aren't you glad for your benefits when you retire? My niece just retired from the state after 25 years, and believe me, she thanks God for your benefits that you give to her. But you know what? Literally, those are peanuts compared to the indescribable gift that brings benefits to you. The benefits of forgiveness, which I didn't put up there. The gift forgiveness. God does not merely say, I love you. He lays down his life on the cross and says, I forgive you. He doesn't just say words. His forgiveness means removal of sin so far as the Father is concerned. Micah 7:19 says, God hurls our sins into the depths of the sea to remember them no more. What an indescribable forgiveness. David wrote in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, and they never meet. East and west never meet. North and south do. East and west don't. But as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. To demonstrate the forgiving heart of God, as Jesus in the process of horribly suffering for our sins, to demonstrate the forgiving heart of God, when Jesus was on the cross and the thief turned to him and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say to him? I forgive you. today you'll be with me in paradise. That's what it takes, though, is a repentant heart of your sin. It takes a heart that says, I'm wrong. It takes a heart that says, I've sinned against your word, O God, and your truth. And that thief recognized his friend was cursing. And of course, there was in the beginning, he was even mocking Jesus, that same thief. But having watched Jesus on the cross dying that day, he realized this man is Messiah. And he asked Jesus to save him, and he did. Now, letter B there is justification. Justification, and third word, righteousness. Now, we understand the word justice. When a drunken driver goes before a judge and is guilty of a DUI, he gets his license taken away from him for at least a year. And we call that justice, right? This week, well, it was this when I wrote this sermon back in 2015. Remember this kid? The kid was on TV, Affluenza. Remember the Affluenza kid? Anybody remember him? He was in a car accident, drunk. He killed four people. And his defense was affluenza. He was a rich 16-year-old kid, and he pleaded, and he got 10 years probation, sentenced to him, probation, sentenced for killing four people. Now, is that justice? I don't think so. But the point is, he must pay for his crime. And I scream out with this nation back then. I screamed out, that's wrong. We need justice. But at God's judgment bar, we're all guilty. We're all guilty. And we all deserve justice. The wages of sin is to be separated from God forever. And that's what we deserve. That is what we deserve. Our robbery, our stealing, our embezzlement, our selling drugs, or perjury before a judge. And there's a punishment that we call for that justice. So what's the biblical term justification? It is one thing to stand guilty before the judge. Stand guilty before the judge. You know you're guilty and you're standing before the judge. And the judge takes off his robe. Right? He stands and steps down from his platform. And he pays in full the wrong that you have done. He is the just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus Christ. He is both the judge and the one who justifies the guilty. And the word justify means to be just as if you had never sinned. That's amazing. That's an indescribable gift of grace. Now, it's one thing to be guilty and stand before a judge, to be declared justified or not guilty. But in the immensity of God's grace, the judge, Jesus Christ, got up from his chair, stepped down from his bench, took off his judge's robe, and took the crime off of us, and he paid for our guilt. The punishment for our crimes and sins was judicially paid in full by the death of Christ, and we are declared not guilty by God. But the indescribable part of that grace was that the innocent, the perfectly righteous one, became sin for us. And here's the beauty of it. This is the indescribable part, is that he gives us his righteousness. That's beyond comprehension. That I stand before God and you can stand before God righteous with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now that's an indescribable gift, that he takes your sins, the darkness of your sins, and he gives to you a perfect righteousness that you can stand before him. By grace you're saved, through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest we should boast. To be declared righteous by God through faith in Jesus, let me tell you, that is a concept of God's grace that's indescribable. And then reunited forever. This is crazy to think about. Reunited with the Heavenly Father forever. Because that's what the benefit of this indescribable gift that we celebrate, the coming of Christ being born, the gift of God is Jesus. But the benefits are, is you're reunited forever with your Heavenly Father. I'm sure many of you remember J.C. Duggard. Remember J.C. Duggard? Duggard? At age 11, J.C. was kidnapped by a man and his wife, was raped, abused, and experienced unspeakable horrors by this couple. She was kept in the backyard, but she was discovered after being kidnapped and repeatedly abused and separated from mother for 18 years. At age 29, when discovered by police, she spoke her name verbally for the first time in years. Then she said to the policewoman, "You mean that I can see my mom?" That was her words. "You mean that I can see my mom?" After being kidnapped for 18 years and held prison in a backyard by maniacs. The policewoman said yes. Can you imagine the flood of thoughts that yes gave her? And the best part is, it was true. When by such a love beyond description found us, and when we believed in Jesus Christ, we were made the children of God. And the best part is, it's true. We're really reconnected with God and restored to sonship and a relationship with the eternal Father. Now, I don't know if you understand what that means, to be a child of God, to be reconciled, having been separated and held captive by Satan for your years, whatever it was, but then to be reconciled to your Heavenly Father. That's an indescribable relationship and a bond. So this indescribable gift is indescribable because of the unique nature of the gift, because of who the gift is, God Himself, and because of what the gift does for us. Because of the grace with which God gave this gift, and because of the immeasurable benefits that this gift gives to the recipients. I don't know about you, but I hope this Christmas you've received, you take this gift from God. This indescribable gift of being reconciled and reunited with God the Father, rescued from your life of sin and emptiness and purposelessness. I mean, you say, well, I have a good job. I have good benefits. I have good retirement. But when you come to die, what do you have? If you don't take God's indescribable gift, then you have look forward to an eternity separated from God instead of being reunited with God. The difference is what you do with Jesus, the gift of God. And truly it is an indescribable gift, Jesus. Truly He is an indescribable gift. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you so very much for your indescribable gift in your Son, Jesus Christ. And truly, the greatest possession that a man or a woman can ever have is not their family, it's not their money, it's not their dog, it's not their job. The greatest possession that any of us can ever have is the gift that you give at Christmas and all the year long, the gift that keeps on giving, Jesus, your Son. And truly, He is an indescribable gift. And I just pray there might be someone here today who takes that gift. I wonder, as we close this morning, if you would do me this last kindness, and you would say, Pastor Roy, I know for certain if I were to die that I've received Christ as my gift and my salvation, and I've asked Him to be my Savior. Would you raise your hand? Would those of you who have accepted Christ, would you raise your hand? All right. Thank you. You may put them down. I saw some hands that weren't raised, so I'm wondering as we close, is there someone to say, Pastor Roy, I need, above all other gifts this Christmas, I need Jesus in my life. Would you raise your hand and say, I want to accept Jesus in my life this Christmas? Would you raise your hand at this time? Anyone? Say, I want to receive this indescribable gift that God gives in His Son, Jesus. Anyone at all? Father, you know every heart here this morning. You also know, Lord, every thought. And I just pray that you would continue to draw the hearts and minds of each of us to you this Christmas season. And that we would make sure, above all other things, that we would have received your indescribable gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, into our hearts by believing in you, Jesus, this Christmas. In your name I pray. Amen. By the way, I did not mention this, but it's very important. God sent His Son into the world to die for our sins on the cross. As soon as I have all of your attention, I'm going to say this. It's very important. God gave His only Son, who took all of your sins in His body when He died on the cross. He put Him in the tomb. They wrapped Him as a mummy, put Him in the tomb, and on the third day, the grave clothes collapsed and Christ was alive. He bodily rose from the dead. And then He ascended back to His Father, where He sits at the right hand of the Father at this time, and He sent His Spirit into this world to come into the hearts of those who believe in Jesus, to make them the children of God and reunite them with the Father. And if you've never taken that gift this Christmas, it's even on your bulletins, we would encourage you to do that. All right?